Lamentations chapter 5, the words of verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. Your orphans and fatherless, our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money, our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution, we labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not. We have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We got our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. We shall be turned. Renew our days as of old, but thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Amen. Just ending at the end of the chapter, we know the Lord will add his own blessing upon the reading. The prophet Jeremiah is commonly referred to by the student of the scriptures as the weeping prophet. I've been reading the book of Lamentations just here recently, in my own quiet time. And we have to acknowledge and say that the passion and the groaning, the sorrow, and the heaviness of heart, it doesn't stop in the book of Jeremiah, but rather it continues right throughout this book that is aptly called the Lamentations of Jeremiah. But while all around is discouraging, he isn't able to lift his eyes and to see God. And as he does so, he realizes what we should realize, that the unchanging character and attributes of God should be our never-ending source of comfort. You look at the words of verse 19, where it says, Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. After all the darkness and all the lamentation and all the gloom, there is found throughout the book, you can see that hope begins to spring up at the close of this book. The book is to end on a very positive and a very encouraging note with respect to God's dealings with his people. And what a comfort that ought to give to our souls. For the most cloudy morning can be able to be given away to the most sunny afternoon of the same day. It is to these last verses that Jeremiah is noted as turning to the Lord in a last fervent appeal. He does so by asking two striking questions that are found in verse 20. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? For the nation of Israel, the 70 years of Babylonian captivity must have seemed long. They must have seen no light to be at the end of that tunnel experience. And it must have been easy then, as it is to this day, that in such a trial, or in such affliction, or in such a chastisement, that they imagine that God has forgotten them, and that God has forsaken his people. While Jeremiah asks the questions, Jeremiah knows different, not least because he has been rejoicing in the truth as we've looked at in verse 19, that God is unchanging and that He is on His everlasting throne. And so I therefore want to, on the background to that, I want us to consider verse 21 and His desiring of God. These verses struck me as I closed the book. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. We shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Therein, first of all, you'll see a plea to restore. The words, turn thou us, could be read like this, could be rendered like this. Restore us unto thee, O Lord. And in those words, there's a clear acknowledgement that the problem between God and His people lay fair and square with them. The problem's not with the Lord. The problem is with the people. The distance between God and His people is because of their sin. And that has always been the case. They had turned away from the Lord. You know, we can illustrate it by that well-known passage of Luke 15 in the prodigal son. The prodigal son is a lost son in a far country. He's just the same as the other pieces in Luke chapter 15, the lost coin and the lost sheep. He's the lost son in a far-off country, but there's a change that was wrought in him. It states that he came to himself. And he confessed that he had sinned. There's a change of mind. And then he realized the nature of his sin. Because we read in the words of verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He recognizes the nature of his sin. There's a change of heart. And the logical conclusion to all of that is what happened next, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. There's the change of will. And the narrative tells us that he met his father running toward him with outstretched arms and with loving kisses, and he gave him a lavish yet undeserved welcome home. People had turned away from God. The prodigal son of his own volition had turned his back in the father's house and did so until he came to himself feeding amongst the swine. The people had turned from God, and so it was they who needed to turn back again to God. Nothing could be a substitute for that. Because for so long, the whole course of their lives had been in the direction of wandering further and further away from Him, and so coming under more and more of His judgment. But even in the language of Jeremiah the prophet, I want you to see in that verse, in the first part of it, that there's also the recognition of their inability to return in their own strength. For he says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Turn thou us. They were weak. They couldn't turn themselves. They had no strength to do so. You see, men and women, young people, while there is in our nature a proneness to backslide from God, there is no disposition in us to return to Him until His grace works in us. We are the proverbial sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way. And you don't need me to tell you that the sheep doesn't know how to get home again. It just goes on and on and on. And that's exactly what our nature is. And so it's necessary that God in His grace in this respect would come and turn us. And so necessary is it that we would plead, turn us, or we shall not be turned. We'll just wander on endlessly. But His grace is so effective that we can truly say, like the prophet, turn us and we shall be turned. For it is a day of God's power when His people are made willing. This verse has obvious similarities to our day. But you know, the people will not be turned of themselves. We need God's grace to work in us, both to do and to will of His good pleasure. Although people need, and although people are exhorted to repent, yet it is part and parcel of the gift of God, and it is only God that can change the hearts of men and women in our province and cause a restoring. Only God can do that. Even this pandemic has not done that. We need God's grace to work in hearts. You know, as you've read that verse, I'm sure that for at least some of you, you can see the agreement there is with the psalmist in Psalm 80. Let me read verse 3. It says, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And that plea or that petition is repeated 3 times within that same psalm. Verse 14, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. Last verse, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Again, in verse 7 is the same petition. There's a plea that we readily could take on our lips and make it our petition tonight. Turn us, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. We shall be turned. But you know, there's also a plea to renew, because Jeremiah continues in the same vein in our verse. While he says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned, he goes on, he says, renew our days as of old. His longing desire is that they might all walk again in the light of the Lord as before, and that he would grant to them once more the state of life and grace and the blessing that they had enjoyed in former times. This wasn't merely a request for the restoration to the land of Israel, although obviously that is got to be part of it. The city of Jerusalem, Judea, the promised land, the temple, the priesthood, the prophetic office, and the monarchy, they were all important parts of God's covenant relationship with His people. But Jeremiah is not viewing things merely on the outward. He's not looking at things in some formal, empty, superstitious manner. He's not desiring the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof that the Apostle Paul warns about in 2 Timothy. Rather, what he wants and yearns for is that the people be true worshipers of the Lord again in both heart and in life. The plea is that they might experience the same happy state as our forefathers had enjoyed for a long time. And what blessings that they had enjoyed from the hand of God when they followed the Lord with all their heart and when they worshipped only Him. For the Lord gave them victory over their enemies. God fought for them, for their battles for them. They would not have the diseases that those in Egypt knew. You turn back to Exodus chapter 15. You will see that for yourself. The words of verse 26. This is after the waters of Marah. He says in verse 26, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That was the message that was rehearsed to them just before they crossed over into that promised land. If you turn to Deuteronomy, you look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, the words of verse 12, you'll see it. Here's the condition again. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. Look at the words of verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. What blessings they enjoyed. Like Israel, our province can also look back to the blessings of old. There have been the deliverances that the Lord has wrought, and it's proper that we remember those things. Just in a few Sabbath times, weeks to come, we'll have come across the Remembrance Sunday again. God gave deliverance to this nation. There have been the special seasons of blessing when an abundance of souls were reached for Christ in our churches, in our province. Some of our people can remember the days of old. You know something? The Lord can do it again. God can do it again for us. He can renew our hearts. And if he does, then by his favor he will also renew our days, so that our youth will be renewed like the eagles. We often sing this psalm, Psalm 103, verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And the sense is, the picture is, that there's the plumage that comes off the eagle and it's renewed. It looks younger looking when it changes its feathers. I wonder, do any need to pray for the Lord to renew the right spirit within us? As David did in Psalm 51, then he would again know the full joy of God's salvation. Then he would be able to teach transgressors the way of the Lord, and sinners would be converted. There's a plea to renew. God can renew our days as of old. The blessings that we enjoyed before can be enjoyed again. And this is Jeremiah's desire for the people. And so there's the plea to renew. I want just to wrap it up showing you the need for repentance. Does the prophet believe that God has utterly rejected his people? That may be this sense of how you read the final verse, but thou hast utterly rejected us. It is a continuation of the verse previous that we've been looking at. But the truth is, he does not believe that. If you want to read it like this, you could do it. Renew our days as of old, since thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. But Jeremiah doesn't believe that the Lord had utterly rejected them. He of all people was aware the Lord God not only makes his covenant, but he keeps his covenant. And so utter rejection would be completely incompatible with his nature and with his name. He is the Lord God, the great I Am, who changes not. His mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. I want you just to consider the promise that the Lord gave through his servant Jeremiah in his own book. Jeremiah 29. You look with me at the words of verse 10. For thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah is delivering the Lord's message. that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. There's a promise. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Promises. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. God would do the restoration work. God would bring them back again to the land. The promise was the people would be restored. Men and women, God was true to his word. After the 70 years were accomplished, that's what happened. The book comes to an end, not with a lament, not with a despair, even if it may look like that, but there's hope. And there's hope because there's repentance and there's prayer. And there must be both of these. If these things are to be put right between God and his people, for when there's repentance and when there is prayer, there's hope. In church history, there's noted a clear connection between prayer and revival. With prayer involving repentance and mourning over sin, there's the blessing of God to follow. And I've been reading a little book, I finished it just this morning, on a little overview of many of the revivals. All we've read about some in America, and we know about Wales, and we know about here, but you know, there's revivals that have happened in South Korea, there's happened in China, in African countries as well. And they're all marked by prayer, where there's repentance over their sin. And I want to say this, that it, in some cases there's only been two or three faithful prayer warriors who have given themselves to incessant prayer for revival, and God has answered. You listen to the exhortation that James gives, James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Bend your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There's repentance followed by blessing. The commentator said this, with this I close. Various tribulations may make our hearts faint and our eyes dim, but our way to the mercy seat of our reconciled God is still open. And we must beseech him to restore and to renew us more and more by his grace. Let us then confess our sins and pour out our hearts before him. For this we know, it shall be well with all who trust, who fear, who love, we serve the Lord. May that be our experience in these days. And we would pray, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. May God do it even for his glory's sake and for the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless his word, even to our hearts tonight, for his own name's sake.